Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, we are indeed pleased to welcome back to our studio the famous and talented Ed Marquard, the director of the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra. Welcome back, Ed.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here.
Nice to have you with us. And tonight we're going to be talking about a concert coming up in about 2 weeks. It's that time of year again when you get geared up for all the wonderful events that are going to happen with the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra. But before we talk about that, let's talk about you. Let's talk about some of the wonderful things you've done. And many years at Rhode Island College, correct?
Correct, 40 years. I retired 2 years ago.
40 years of teaching music at Rhode Island College. And anyone ever asked you how many students might have passed through your doors?
No, they haven't asked, but I've thought about it frequently. I have no idea what the number is, but I hope the influence was positive in any case.
Well, I'm sure. It's one of those things where they say, well, Rhode Island's a small state and people know everybody, but I'm constantly running into people that know you and have had your classes and so forth. And so far, I'm knocking on wood there. Everybody's had very positive things to say.
That's good. That's good. The payola really helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So 40 years at Rhode Island College. And now your main time is spent with the chorale and orchestra?
That's correct. I do some lecturing or talks around the state, both at colleges and I do several at the Redwood Library and Athenaeum in Newport every year, usually around what concert we're doing, the music for that concert, although I do other things. I'm called in occasionally back to Rhode Island College to lecture in the music history courses about some pieces that I happen to know very well. I just did a Brahms Requiem. I've done Stravinsky, Rite of Spring, Bach. It's great. It gets me out of the house. Diana's really pleased that I'm doing this.
It keeps you up the streets, right?
That's right.
Well, let's just talk about that point for a moment, because lots of people that listen to this show are involved in the arts, and sometimes they're looking for interesting things to do with their group. So you can be hired to go and talk to a group? Or
I could be. I generally offer my services. Pay is not a necessity.
Well, I don't think we want to spread that around too much.
Why not? It gets me more gigs, I'm sure.
All right, so that's interesting. If you have a group, and you can contact Ed and do that through the Rhode Island Civic Chorale website, which is very hard to remember, the website.
Yes, RICCO.org.
RICCO.org. So anything we talk about today, you can get more information about by going to that website. And the program that we're really speaking of, that I said is in a couple weeks, is going to be Handel's Messiah.
We do Messiah every other year, and this is indeed the year. The performances will take place on November 28th at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul in downtown Providence, and that's at 7:30. And the following day, on Sunday the 29th, we do it at St. Joseph's Church in Newport on Mann Avenue.
And that's in the afternoon,
that's
right?
At 3 o'clock, yes.
3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Okay, and Handel's Messiah is, like you said, done every other year. You just do a small portion of the Messiah?
No, we do the complete Messiah.
How was that for a setup? Was that good?
That was great, yeah. You've been at this a while, haven't you?
All right, so the complete Messiah, and today we're going to go through some of the music that you brought with you, and what's the first track that we have to listen to?
We're going to listen to the very first aria from a recitative in aria, which is Comfort Ye and Every Valley. It's sung by the tenor. And in this particular case, the tenor is John Humphrey, who was a teacher of mine about 45 years ago.
Wow. All
so right. There's a connection here. It happens to be Robert Shaw with the Atlanta Symphony and the Atlanta Symphony Chorus.
Thank you. voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Music that sets the mood. And now, Ed, a little bit of background on the Messiah. I know, I'm sure over the years we've talked about this before, but what are the origins of the piece?
Well, in Handel's time, and we're talking about 1741 when this piece was composed in a period of about 3 weeks, and it sounds impressive, and indeed it is. Of course, he borrowed material from himself and redid it, but Handel was known as an opera composer of Italian operas, and that got quite expensive and sort of fell out of favor, and so he turned to what we now know as oratorio. And he had written several before he did Messiah, and he had a series of concerts commissioned in Dublin for 1742, and so Messiah became part of that. It was actually performed in a concert hall in Dublin on Good Friday in 1742. For many, many years after Handel, during Handel's lifetime and after his death, Messiah was performed during the Lenten season or around Easter. About 100 years later, then it began somehow to become a Christmas holiday piece. And there it's remained for the most part, especially in England and in the United States. We tried probably 15 years ago to do it in April, and the turnout was rather paltry, to say the least. So we went back to doing it Christmas time, and we've done quite well since then.
There you go. It's hard to change the perception. All right, what's the next piece we're going to listen to?
This is the first chorus in the piece, and I always remind our altos who begin this, this is the first that people hear of you this year, so you probably ought to be pretty good about this.
To get as much music in as possible, I'm going to ask you to do one more piece before we take our first break.
No problem. This is another chorus, and he shall purify.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Ed and the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra.
Oh,
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Ed Marquard, the director of the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra. And we've been listening to selections from The Messiah, which the chorale will be presenting on November 28th, just about, a week and a half from now. And that will be at St. Peter and Paul in downtown Providence, the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul, downtown Providence, 7:30 at night?
7:30, correct.
And then Sunday the 29th at St. Joseph's Church, 5 Mann Avenue in Newport. And that's a 3 o'clock performance,
that's
right?
That's 3 o'clock, correct.
All right. The people that will be performing along with the chorale are...
Well, we have quite an interesting group of soloists this time. Not that they always... They're always interesting. But this is a group of young singers, and I'm very fortunate to have a wonderful friend, Matthew Larson, who's on the faculty of the Boston University Opera Institute. And all 4 of these soloists are graduates of the Boston University Opera Institute.
All right.
And the first two, Katrina Galka, soprano, is now singing with the Portland Opera, and she's coming back to join us. She's the soprano. Jared Pagenkopf is an interesting fellow. He's a countertenor, and I haven't used a countertenor with this in this oratorio in several years, and I'm really looking forward to that. Both Katrina and Jared sang with us last year during Katrina at Christmas time, and Jared sang in our performance of Bernstein's Chichester Psalms. The other two gentlemen, Jesse Darden, tenor, and Eric Van Heningen, bass baritone, I heard last summer they auditioned for me, and I was really impressed with them and hired them on the spot to do Messiah. So fortunately, they're both free, and all told now I've hired or listened to about a dozen singers who are graduates of the Boston University Opera Institute, and it's going to be a real pipeline for us to present these young singers. And it reminds me also that we just finished our annual collegiate vocal competition mm-hmm. at the Music Mansion, mm-hmm. a place you're familiar with,
familiar, sort of.
And we had our biggest turnout, and according to our judges, it was our best turnout. So I'm looking forward to working with those young people in March.
Now, are those results announced yet, or...?
They are, but I don't have them with me, so I don't want to embarrass myself or them.
All right. We want to get to another piece of music then, and tell us what's next.
We're going to listen to a recitative, an aria, and a chorus all rolled into one. Behold, the Virgin Shall Conceive is the recitative, and the aria and the chorus, same text, O Thou That Tellest Good Tidings to Zion.
Lift on thy voice with strength.
just a couple questions about the Civic Chorale and Orchestra, the chorale that you rehearse with, what, on a weekly, biweekly basis?
Weekly
basis is about how many people now?
Right now we're at 80.
80 voices?
80 voices.
So that takes some management to get a group that size all herded in the same direction?
I guess you could say that, yeah. I used to think I conducted them, but maybe herding them is more to the point. We rehearse Wednesday evenings for 2.5 hours, and then we have an orchestra rehearsal, a soloist rehearsal in the week of the concert, and then on the Friday night prior, we put the whole shebang together.
So one rehearsal. You only have one option?
One dress rehearsal.
One dress rehearsal. And for you as a conductor, do you conduct both the chorale and the orchestra?
Yeah, right. I rehearse them both separately, of course, and then putting them together in what we call the dress rehearsal, the rehearsal prior to the performance, yes.
Wow, so that you only have one shot with that orchestra for rehearsal purposes.
With the soloist, the chorus, yeah, and the orchestra all together, one shot. Yeah. No matter what repertoire we're doing. Several years ago, maybe 10 by now, we did a work by Alexandra Vrebeloff. I actually had the luxury of 3 rehearsals because it was a world premiere, and none of us knew how it was going to turn out.
So the people in the orchestra come from various orchestras rounds, not just people from a certain group there?
It's mainly members of the Rhode Island Philharmonic, and these days that means Rhode Islanders and nearby Massachusetts, Boston. I would say 50% of the orchestra comes from Boston.
Okay.
And I see them, as I said, for 2.5 hours. In this case, it's on a Wednesday afternoon because the following day is Thanksgiving, and then we see everybody on Friday night.
Now, for our people that are listening that might be interested in how this works, the musicians, the instrumentalists, are professional.
They are professional, yeah.
So this is what they do for a living versus the chorale people that...
It's an avocation for the chorale
right.
people.
Right, okay.
Some of whom have good musical training. There mm-hmm. are a few who have actually degrees in music. Most are lawyers, doctors, what have you.
Candlestick makers.
Candlestick makers, right. Bakers.
Right. All right.
If someone
wants to join the chorale, they can do that by auditioning?
If they go to the webpage, they'll find a number to call and request an audition. I will be auditioning in mid-December as we start up again in January.
Okay. Well, we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Let's get to another piece before we take our next break.
This is one of the very famous choruses, "For Unto Us a Child Is Born." What is interesting about this is originally, like a couple of other pieces in Messiah, they were originally something else. In this case, it was a duet for two sopranos sung in Italian, and Handel reworked it. It was a common practice in the Baroque era to do that. Bach did it lots, and mm-hmm. Handel did it lots as well.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Oh,
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Ed Marquard, the director of the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra, and we've been listening to music that Ed has brought with him of Handel's Messiah, which will be presented in its entirety, the only complete performance in Rhode Island of this wonderful holiday favorite, and that'll be November 28th at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul on Fenner Street in Providence, Saturday night at 7:30, and then Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, on the 29th at St. Joseph's Church in Newport. And if you'd like further information, you can go to the website, and that's ricco.org, or you can even call a phone number, just like people used to do when they talked to real people. And you don't have an automated answering system, right? This is a real person at the other end?
It's pretty automated.
Pretty automated, all right. Well, it's 401-521-5670 if you'd like to make the phone call.
Please make sure you get those numbers in the right order. Years ago, a friend of mine, and you may remember him, Paul Nelson, great composer, went around the East Side putting up posters and discovered that our phone number was not on them.
Oh.
So he... I'm not going to say the number because it might happen again. He turned around the 6 and the 7. Mm-hmm. And so, boy, was Dunkin' Donuts mad the next day after they started getting phone calls asking for tickets to Messiah.
There you go. Well, it could have been worse, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway, well, we've been talking about the music that will be presented on those dates. And, Ed, a few other events coming up, and of course you'll be welcome to come back. Hopefully you will come back and talk about things that are happening in March and then in May. March, you have an event coming up. Tell us about that.
This is a really wonderful concert. It features the winners of the Collegiate Vocal Competition, which I mentioned earlier, as soloists in two pieces, a work by Michael Haydn and a work by Franz Schubert. And then we're doing a work by Ola Jelo, a young Norwegian-American composer. And along with our performance of that, we're collaborating with Jump Dance Company, which is a group of youngsters from ages 13 to 18 who are choreographed by Mary Paula Hunter, who is last year's Claiborne Pell Award winner. And we're really excited about that. The unique thing about that company is that the young dancers are also taught to choreograph, and I've watched them and watched some of the student choreography, and it's really amazing. Most dance companies don't expend that kind of time. They dance,
right,
but they don't learn how to actually choreograph, so we're pleased about that.
That'll be an interesting performance in March, and we'll talk about that more this spring. And then we have another May set of performances.
Yes, and that is, again, in Providence and in Newport, May 14th and 15th, we're doing the works of Benjamin Britten, the Cantata Misericordium, and Simple Symphony, and then Gabriel Fauré's wonderful Requiem.
All right. Well, let's get back to the Messiah and put a couple pieces together for us here as we go to the next tracks.
Yes, we're going to hear the tenor recitative, He That Dwelleth, and his great aria, Thou Shalt Dash Them in Pieces, followed by the Hallelujah Chorus, probably the most famous chorus ever.
All right, tell me when to stand up.
He that dwelleth in heaven shall laugh them to scorn. The Lord shall have them in derision. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt
as usual, a wonderful time is had by all when you hear Ed, and time flies by. Thank you for being here.
It's always a great pleasure, Mike. I really enjoy coming here and sharing with you and your listeners.
We were talking off air a while ago about famous Messiah stories. I told you one about Keith Lockhart that I can say for some other time, but you did a performance at Vets one time that was memorable.
Oh, my word. It was the first time that I conducted it in Veterans Memorial Auditorium, and it was before it was rehabbed and made the beautiful place that
years
it is today.
Years ago. Right.
And, of course, everyone stood up for the Hallelujah Chorus, and as they did, there was so much squeaking from the chairs, I thought 1,000 mice had been let loose in the place.
It has been fixed, and it's in beautiful condition now. My vet story like that was we were producing a show there, and this had to be in the mid-'80s, long before it was redone. And the reason we didn't go back the following year was a pigeon flew on the stage while we were singing and landed and just was enjoying himself listening to us.
Everyone's a critic.
Right. There you go. All right. Well, we have time for a piece of one more cut that you brought for us. We don't have time for the whole thing, but tell us what we're going to end up with.
This is the final chorus and amen. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, an obvious reference to Christ. The interesting thing about a work called Messiah is that, unlike Handel's other oratorios, there are no characters, no plot, and Jesus never speaks. Messiah never speaks. So it's more of a commentary and a group of verses selected as meditations and thought-provoking ideas. But this final chorus is absolutely wonderful, and we always look forward to it. It's a great chorus, and it means we don't have to stand up past the 2.5 hours anymore.
There you go. All right. Once again, thanks for being here, Ed. We'll look forward to seeing you next time.
My pleasure, Mike. Thank you.
And the rest of you, we'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations.
Thank you.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.